Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers.
You know, in every major decision you ever make in your life, it always involves 2 basic actions. The first action it involves is a step. That's right. If you make a decision, you have to step into that decision. But it also involves a second thing. The vast majority of the time, any decision that you ever make will have to become a public decision. There are very few decisions you make of a major capacity that are simply private decisions. I mean, think about it. You remember back years and years ago when you first started dating? When you first started dating that person, you had to step into asking that person. And then you made that public when you took that person on a date or you were a part of a date. The same thing, if you were in high school, you participated in the band, or you participated in athletics, or you participated in a cheer team, or in some academic thing, that team that was existent and went to competition, you did that by stepping into that decision. It was important enough to decide to do it, and then you stepped into it publicly. The moment you decided whether you were going to enter the military, or you were going to enter into college, or you're going to enter into some profession immediately out of high school, you made that step. You stepped into that decision, and then that decision became known to other people. The same thing continued in college. When you went to college, you had to what? You had to declare a major, and you stepped into that decision, and you declared, meaning you made it public. The same thing, if you were a part of a fraternity or a sorority, you did not do that in private. You made a decision, and that decision became public to make that pledge toward being accepted into that group or one of those groups. And then when you graduated from college, you had to go out and you got your first job. And when you got your first full-time job with a college degree, you had to make that decision and step into that office of that person and ask for that job and apply for that job and interview for that job. And then when you got the job, you made it public. Oh, I got a job. It was an awesome. It's going to be great. And then one day you got married. Many of you are married, and when you got married, what did you do? You stepped into that decision. You made a very important decision, and you stepped into it. I think I'm going to marry her, or I think I'm going to marry him. And when you made that decision, guess what happened? Your spouse did not say to you, or your mate at that time did not say to you, "Oh, listen, by the way, we're going to get married, but we don't want anybody to know we got married." That wouldn't float the boat real high. That wouldn't go well. But what did you do? You made that decision, and then you got married. And that marriage, it could have been in a courthouse, but it was public. It could have been in a pastor's office, but it was a public ceremony, even though there were very few to be there. And then, or it could have been in a worship center, but it was a public decision that you made. You see, it doesn't matter what it is that you do. You have to step into that decision, and you've got to make that decision public. You know, this week, I went through my annual physical, hours and hours of testing the human body. And in that, every time I go through that, I always wonder, okay, what's going on in me that I don't already know about? And what's really amazing is the older I go and the more I go, and I've gone for years and years doing this, boy, it's a real wake-up call, because in reality, you begin to recognize something about yourself that perhaps you've never seen before. You know what that is? You face your mortality. I promise I am facing my mortality a lot more now than I did when I was 20 years younger. But in reality, it doesn't matter what your age is. You should wake up every day with the reality that you are mortal, that there is a beginning of life and there is an ending of life. You don't get ready to die by just simply saying, well, ready or not, here I go, let's go. That's not how you die. You see, one day you will die. One day I will die. And the moment we die, we will take, listen now, the biggest step we've ever taken in our lives. And it will be a step into eternity. And the moment we step into eternity on that day, we may be by ourselves. Or we may be in a hospice unit with family and friends surrounding us. Or we may just be in a hospital, or we may die of something in which someone is there beside us. But there is an appointment that you will keep in your life, and that appointment is unalterable. You cannot put it off. It is an appointment to die. Death is an appointment you cannot avoid. Death is not an appointment that you can delay. Death is not an appointment. You say, whoa, wait a minute, I'm not ready to go, I'm not ready. No. Doesn't work that way. So what we have to do is to be ready for the biggest step we will ever take in our lives, which will be a step into eternity. Reminds me of a Bible passage over in the book of the 14th chapter of the book of Romans. In Romans 14, there is one verse of Scripture that I want to place before you today. And it's verse number 12. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. That's a pretty sobering verse, is it not? What that verse is telling you is basically this. The moment you die, you will have a meeting with God. That's what that means. The moment you die, you will have a meeting with God. And ready or not, you will meet. In fact, we've been talking about the dashboard in our lives and all kinds of things to measure and to look at. Well, you know what? There's a gauge in your life, and it's called an eternity gauge. And that eternity gauge will show one of two words, ready or not. Ready, not. Ready, not. Are you ready? Are you not ready to to die. Here's what you need to know about this meeting with God that's going to happen at the end of your life. First of all, it's a universal meeting. The scripture is very clear. So then each of us. It doesn't say white middle-aged men only have to stand before God. But it says, so then each of us. Are you an each of us? We are each of us. And it doesn't matter what our generation may be. It doesn't matter what kind of person we are. It doesn't matter the color of our skin or the language that we speak. Both genders, all generations, all languages, all people, all ethnicities, all of us, so then each of us, listen carefully, we're going to one day have a meeting with God, every one of us. Universal, all of us. But even though it's an all of us moment, it's a personal moment. It's a personal moment. You see, it's a personal moment where the scripture says, so then each of us will give an account of himself or of herself. It is a personal moment. That word account is a phrase that means word by word account of your life. You see, at that moment, I will not give an account in my meeting with God. I don't give an account about Gina. She's on her own. And I don't give account about my two sons or my two daughter-in-laws or my seven grandchildren. It's personal. It's me with God, God with me. And my meeting is with God, and it's unalterable. And I'll be there at that meeting, whether I want to be there or not, whether I'm ready or not, I'm going to be attending that meeting. And that meeting is not about my parents. It's not about my in-laws. It's not about relatives. It's not about friends. It's not about colleagues. That meeting with God is about one thing, me with God and God with me. And it doesn't matter whether I'm a Christian or I'm not a Christian, I'm still going to meet with God. Doesn't matter whether I'm an atheist or whether I believe in the Bible, whether I'm a Mormon or whether I'm a Catholic or whether I'm a Baptist or I'm a nothing. It's personal, and you will have a meeting with God. And it's a meeting where we're all going to be accountable. It's accountable. It's universal, it's personal, it's accountable. Notice what it says. So then each of us will give an account of himself, herself to God. God. I don't give an account of myself to my wife. I do that every day. And that's going to be a breeze compared to what I'm about to face. You don't give an account to the church. You don't give an account to me. You don't give an account to your spouse, to your family, to your boss. You will, at that moment where you meet with God, you will give an account of your life, and you will give it to God. The meeting is not with you and a million other people. It's with you and God. A one-on-one encounter. And at that meeting, you will give an account on the steps you take in your life. The way you live your life. And it's just like I said, this meeting at death, it's an appointment. It's unavoidable. It's unalterable. You cannot delay it. It reminds me of the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 27, when Hebrews writes these words, "And just as it is appointed for people to die once, and after this, judgment." After this, judgment. That's pretty strong, is it not? So that means I'm gonna have an appointment to die that I cannot alter, and the moment I die, I got another appointment. I mean, some of us think death lets us up. I'm in appointments every day of my life, but I'm about to face those appointments that are unlike any appointment I've ever had. And one of them's going to happen in the call to death, and one of them will happen at the judgment. The moment I die, I got an appointment. And that's at the judgment. The Bible tells us in the Holy Scripture in chapter 14 of Romans, in that verse I read a moment ago, that is a reference to what is called the judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then in Hebrews 9, after this, the judgment. That word judgment is the Greek word bema. B-E-M-A is the way it's transliterated in the English language. After we die and we enter into this meeting, it will be at the judgment, at the bema. Now, what was the bema? The bema is where the judges would stand when athletic competition went on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And the phrase was used because the judges, when weighing the athletic competition, they would look at the athletes, and if the athletes did something to disqualify themselves, then they would rule that they are disqualified. But if the athletes made the race and if they happened to be some of the winners in the race, then guess what? It would be at the bema, they would either be disqualified, or at the bema, they would be rewarded based off of their winnings there at the race. Well, guess what? One day, every one of us will be at the bema. The Bible speaks in the Holy Scripture that there are two judgments in the Scripture. The one judgment is one for everybody who's ready. Now, I'm ready, even though I'm probably not ready. I'm ready ultimately. I'm ready based off Christ and His grace in my life. And when I stand before God at the judgment, that will be at what is called the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, Romans 14 that I referred to a moment ago. It's at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ where all of us who say that we have had our sins forgiven and Christ is living in our lives and we know that we're going to heaven when we die, all of us that would testify to that and have placed our faith in Christ and Christ alone, we will be at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And at that bema, at that judgment seat, we will be judged on one of two things. We will be judged on the steps we took in our life, the works that we performed in our life for Christ. And then God will also judge us on the basis of our motives in how we conducted ourselves in the works that we did for Jesus Christ. So not only will God weigh what I did, God will weigh how I did it and why I did it. And boy, that really cuts it through, doesn't it? And then the rewards are based off of those matters, the Scripture tells us in the book of Corinthians. So that's the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. That's for all of us that say, we're ready. But let me tell you, the vast majority of people are not ready. And that judgment of not being ready is what we call the great white throne judgment, as mentioned in the book of Revelation in the 20th chapter of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book of the Bible. At that great white throne judgment, it's for every person who did not prepare for death, and they did not prepare for judgment. And they will have an appointment with God, and they will have an appointment at judgment. The Bible tells us that all of the dead, meaning all of the dead who do not know Christ, will stand before God at this judgment, and that judgment is called, listen carefully, the Great White Throne Judgment. In the book of Revelation, in the 20th chapter, I mean, it's quite a drama that unfolds. And in that drama, the Bible tells us that there's a book, and that book is called the Lamb's Book of Life. And the drama is created whereby you stand before God, and God looks to see if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. God knows it's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, but God's showing you why you're about to receive the judgment. And your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible says that God will say something to you like what was said it over in the book of Matthew, that is, you are a worker of iniquity, a worker of sin. You're not prepared to die. Get away from me. And the judgment comes. The Revelation in the 20th chapter says that the person that's not ready to die, listen carefully, will be sentenced to hell. I realize that's not a popular statement in today's sophisticated world. But whether we're sophisticated or unsophisticated, whether we believe what I'm saying or we don't believe what I'm saying, I'm telling you, what I'm saying will take place because it's in the Bible, and what the Bible says, and what God says, God means, and God has the final word. And when God says that, what that means is that you will be sentenced to hell. You will be sentenced to what the Revelation says in the 20th chapter as the lake of fire. That's literally what it means, the lake of fire. What does that mean ultimately? A complete eternal separation from God for all of eternity in your life. In other words, you didn't want God in your life. You didn't want God involved in your life on this side of eternity. So because God is just and Jesus Christ paid the ultimate for everyone's sin, and we chose not to give our life to Christ, we refused to receive the powerful blood of Christ upon the sins of our life, and the end result of that is not good. And God's got to be fair, and the part of the fairness factor is one thing, and that is there is someone who is ready, there is someone who is not ready. Everyone could have gotten ready, but you chose not to get ready. So all that's bad news. But you don't know how good the good news is until you know how bad the bad news is. The good news is that God's got a better way, and God doesn't want you to enter into eternity unprepared. So what do you need to know? Here's what you need to know about getting ready to die, an appointment you must keep. And here's what you know about standing before judgment at the Bema, and it will be an unavoidable judgment at the great white throne judgment. Here's what you need to know. It's a universal call. In other words, what? You don't have to be unprepared because God has given a universal call. What does a universal call mean? Remember a while ago, the word universal meant that all of us will give an account of ourselves to God? There is a thought in the theological world that is called universalism, which means that it doesn't matter what we believe, when it all's over, we're all going to be fine and we're all going to heaven when we die. That's not what the Bible teaches. Never does the Bible teach that. But when I say a universal call, here's the universal call. Anyone who will turn from their sin and place their faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, they can be saved and they can escape the great white throne judgment. That's why you see Jesus pleading over in the Revelation in the 22nd chapter and in the 17th verse. Three times in one chapter, Jesus says, come, come, come. Why is that such a powerful image? It's a powerful image because notice what it is. It's a step. If I'm going to come to Jesus, I have to step to follow Jesus. And guess what? It's not a private step. It is a public step because there He is and I'm publicly coming to Him. I've got to get ready to die. Don't have to, but I want to. But you see, not only is Jesus issuing a powerful call for all of us, it's a personal decision. Nobody can make that decision for you. No one can take that step for you. That step is yours. You have to make that step. I made that step years ago. Many of the people that are here today, they have made that step. Everybody has to make that step. No one can make that step for you. If you could, you would. If you have relatives that don't know Christ, if you have family members that don't know Christ, if you have a spouse, you come to church by yourself, and that spouse does not know Christ, if you could make that decision for your spouse, you would make that decision for your spouse. If you have children that have never said yes to Christ, if you could make that decision for them, you would make that decision for them, but you cannot because it is a personal decision every person has to make on their own. It's your step. But the wonderful news is this, what Paul said in the book of Romans in the 13th chapter, or in the 10th chapter in the 13th verse, and that is, for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And you're a whosoever. All generations, all ethnicities, all ages. That's who Jesus died for. And if you will call on the name of the Lord, you will lead the not ready column to the ready column. All of a sudden, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life by a Savior who loved you and died for you and is pleading for you today to come, to come, to come. And the number one question that everybody here today has got to answer is this same question. Whether you want to answer it or not, you got to answer it. And you're going to answer it whether you don't answer it. Are you ready? That's the question. Are you ready? I want to affirm again, ready or not, you will die. God doesn't say, okay, now you get ready and then I'm going to let you die. Ready or not, you will die. And ready or not, listen carefully now. Look right here. Ready or not, you will enter into judgment. You will keep your appointment with death, and you will keep your appointment of judgment. For everyone who is ready, that means you have received God's forgiveness for your sin. That means that Christ Jesus is living in your life, and that means that you have a confidence that you're going to heaven when you die. But if you're not ready, that's because you know your name is not written right now in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that if you were to die today, You know you're not ready to die, and you're certainly not ready for the judgment. And the end result would not be because God does not love you. God loves you. That's why you're here today. He has pulled you in here today. And one day, if you do not give your life to Christ, and one day, if you do not get ready to die today, you're going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment, and all of a sudden, you're going to remember this specific day, this specific time, this specific pastor who begged you to come and get ready, who pleaded with you to get ready, and you didn't. And God will say to you, depart from me, for you never knew me. And you will be departing into hell, separation from God, the lake of fire. But here's the great news. The great news is also seen over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2, when it says, see, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. How can I get ready? Today? Now? How can I do that? Here it is. Listen now. Admit you're a sinner. Believe Jesus died for your sin. Believe that Jesus died in your place. And then publicly make a step. I will follow Jesus. And you place your faith and your trust in Christ and Christ alone. You see, the next step is always the most important step. And you know what the next step is today for you? Here it is. It's a simple step. You need to pray. Well, I don't pray. I don't know how to pray. I've never prayed in my life. I get it. That's why I'm here. I'm here not to pray for you as much as to lead you in praying to receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior. So wherever you are in this room today, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. That if you're not ready for death and you're not ready for the judgment of God, you're not ready to stand before God today, I'm going to ask you to get ready. I'm going to ask you to make the decision. Take the step. Remember the step. And the step is found in talking to God about where things are. So will you step toward Jesus today? You can do that right now where you're sitting. Would you bow with me all across the room, every head bowed, every eye closed? I'm going to ask every one of you, please do not get up. Please do not leave. This is the most important time, especially on today. But if you want to get ready today, whether you're at the top of the balcony, whether you're on the back row, the middle row, the front row, regardless of whether you're my left or you're my right, or you're right here in the center of the congregation, I'm going to ask you, if you're ready to get ready, I want you to tell God this. You just whisper this to God. You mean it in your heart. You can just pray it where you are in your chair. Just tell God. Mouth it with your lips. Mean it and believe it in your heart. Say this. Say, dear Jesus. That's right. Wherever you are, just say, dear Jesus. I know I'm a sinner. Tell him, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I'm not ready to die. Just tell him that. But right now, I want to get ready to die. I believe you died for my sin. And right now, I open my heart. I open my life. And I ask you to take away my sin. Save me now. Enter my life now. Come into my life now. By faith, simple faith, I place my faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Tell Him that. I place my faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I want you to take me to heaven when I die. So come into my life now and change me.